Hi everyone, and welcome to Natural Languages, and welcome to a new Q&A live session. And today we're gonna go with English because I've been doing this in Spanish for the most part, but you know, today and in the future I'll have some Q&A sessions in English, some others in Spanish, so everybody can benefit in different ways, you know, whether you're native Spanish speaker or native English speaker or from a different country. But you know, the main goal is to answer your questions when it comes to the language acquisition process. But you know, if it's useful for you when it comes to actually acquiring Spanish or English in today's case, because that's like even better, right? But yeah, as usual, today I want to talk about the main ideas or the main concepts, the main principles for you to understand how the language mechanism actually works. Yeah. And because you know, my main goal with today's Q&A, but with my project overall, is to help you understand that we can all learn any language when you're in the process. I'm totally convinced. It's just that the way we've been going about it is just wrong. You know, it's just a completely different process, sort of a crazy attempt from us adults to learn the language differently. And yeah, those are the types of things that I want to talk about today. But like I said, man, my main goal is to communicate with you live here today and to answer your questions, and so we can have some chat back and forth. Answer your question, like I said, but also look at your suggestions, ideas, and anything related to language acquisition. And yeah, so before we get started, as usual, just let me know where you're watching from, and yeah, whether you have any questions already. We'll wait a couple more minutes for more people to get in. But yeah, let me know where you're watching from, and whether you're a native English speaker or native Spanish speaker or from a different country or like I said, any questions you may have already. And yeah, I'm gonna talk about the main ideas, the main principles, but you can ask me anything related to language acquisition, right? And you can also share your success stories or your failure stories, because we all have them, right? So yeah, let's wait a couple more minutes for more people to get in, and I'll start answering your questions if there's any already. If not, I'll start with my presentation or the topic that I've been preparing, which is, like I said, the main principles to understand how the language process actually works. Hi. Yeah, nice to see you again. Well, nice to read you again. Yeah, our friend from Belfast. So yeah, like I said, I'll do it in English today, but I'm switching between English and Spanish to try to help as many people as possible, right? And here we have Adrián. Adrián, nice to see you here again, and I'm doing great, thank you. How is it going in Argentina, and how are you understanding so far? How is it? Is it better for you to understand because I'm not a native English speaker? Or hi, Reggie. Awesome. Yeah, great to see you again, Reggie. So we have people from Belfast, from the United States, Chicago. We have Adrián from Argentina. So cool. That's one of the things I love the most, you know, about, I mean, language learning in general, but life overall, right? Like meeting people from different countries, from different cultures, with different native languages and so on. Yeah, Adrian says, all right, here in Argentina. Awesome. So yeah, tell me, Adrian and Reggie, our friend from Belfast, MG, do you have any questions already related to language acquisition? Or I can start with the main topic today. And obviously for those of you who've already joined the Spanish version of the Q&A, I'm probably gonna talk about CertiCover in those sessions, right? But yeah, since this is the first one in English, I think, yeah, I wanted to talk about the most important things, like the most important principles that we really need to understand in order to learn a foreign language and in order to enjoy the process, every single minute of it, like I'm always talking about, because I'm just convinced that's the case. Yeah, like I said at the beginning, we just been going about it the wrong way. Okay. I spend many hours on input, podcasts, YouTube, books. I find many teachers are supportive of CI, but recommend taking notes, flashcards, specific methods to speed up the language learning process. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I have the same feeling. I feel like, how can I put it into words? Like, I think a lot of people look at comprehensible input as a nice to have kind of thing, right? Or, but they're still talking about, like you said, taking notes, flashcards, and things like that, which, like you said perfectly, they're just ideas to sort of try to speed up the process, right? Or hack it, or try to memorize things in a better way, you know, because that's sort of the idea behind taking notes, for example, right? But in my opinion, like, first of all, taking notes reminds me too much of my old high school and college days. And I didn't enjoy those classes, you know. That's the first thing that, you know, I don't like about it. But then, yes, usually it's just gonna take notes on specific words or sentences, or it's just gonna force you to focus on form, which is what I'm always trying to avoid as a language student myself, but as a language teacher most of all, right? Yeah, so I don't do any extras, exactly. I find it boring, absolutely. Yeah, I think, again, I think there's a lot of people who are starting to understand that comprehensible input is the way, and the whole theory makes sense to them, but they still have that sort of traditional mindset. So taking notes or using flashcards, again, is sort of a conscious attempt from us adults to consciously control the process, right? Because when you're listening to an episode for the sake of just enjoying it and learning about a specific topic, or you're reading a book, and all you're worried about is the message, the content, it doesn't feel like you're learning, right? Obviously, we all know that's actually the thing that's helping you learn the language, right? But because it's a subconscious process, we adults freak out, basically. So we want to try things to make it more measurable, if you will, right? Like, yeah, like you pointed out, like flashcards, taking notes, and things of that nature. Because with those things, we feel like we're actually progressing, right? You know, if you're going to a classroom, you go home and you feel like you've gotten this much better, right? If you're taking notes, you feel like you've learned 10 new words, or as many as, you know, you want. But again, that's not going to help you actually remember those words, first of all. And second of all, it's actually going to hurt you in my eyes because it's going to force you to focus on form. And that's what we're trying to avoid. Yeah. So, yeah, back to your comment, I totally agree with you. But, you know, to be honest, I've actually seen a couple of teachers here and there that really go about it the right way in my eyes. Like I've talked about comprehensible Russian for Russian, for example. I think I've also talked about a German project because there are two of them. Like one's naturally German and the other one's naturally Deutsch. And one of them, like I had her on the podcast, one of the first episodes, Anna, and she does a wonderful job. And she doesn't talk about any of those extras that you're mentioning. So if you're looking to learn German, I really recommend that one. I strongly recommend it. Because then there's the other one. And she also believes in comprehensible input. But I find some of those things that you're talking about, that sometimes she recommends taking notes and she talks about form every now and then. Right? So, I mean, you can still, I've watched some of her videos. They've helped me out because not all of them are about that, right? But still, while using comprehensible input as the main source, she still talks about form every now and then. So, but, you know, fortunately, like I said, there's more and more projects and yeah. People are starting to understand that it's not a nice to have. It's everything you need. It's all you need. It's the only thing you need, actually, right? If you're, like I'm always talking about, and I'll just connect that with today's topic, which is that if you understand what you're listening to or reading, you're learning the language. It's that simple. Like I'm going to tell you a thousand different things. We're going to talk about hundreds of topics. You know, I'll do Q&As every week and I'll keep posting videos because I love it and because I want to help as many people as possible. But it all comes down to that. Like if you understand what you're listening to or reading, you're learning the language. It's that simple, quote unquote simple, right? But we adults, we try to look for hacks, right? To speed up the process and things of that nature. Or we want to find the latest trend or the latest way to memorize words in a better way. You know, this crazy stuff that has nothing to do with the way the actual language acquisition process works, right? Which again, we really need to understand that input, comprehensible input, is the key to the entire process. So we learn language, like I said, by listening and reading. So that's the cause of our improvement, right? And output, our ability to communicate, will eventually show up as a consequence. That's the key word. Output is a consequence, not the cause. And that's one of the things that we really need to understand. One of the main principles, if you will. And another one of those principles is understanding that it is a subconscious process. And back to your point, we're always trying to consciously control the process as adults, but it's just not the way it works. And it's actually going to hurt you. I actually believe that if you focus on form, first of all, it's not going to help you learn the language. And I'm starting to believe, and I'm pretty convinced it's actually hurting you. Since it's making you focus on form. And I see it every day, like in my students, but people out there in the street, like I see it many times, like they're going to say something in a foreign language. And it's funny because many times they say it the right way, but then they stop to think about it, right? Or they're about to say it right, but they stop to think about it because of that conscious learning that they had in traditional classes for the most part, but even themselves, right? So it's just gonna hurt you. I've felt it, I've seen it. And it happens all the time. Like, you know, I see it with my students. They're going to say something in Spanish and they say it right, or they're about to say it right. I can see it, but they stop, right? They stop to sort of rely on that monitor to tell them whether that's correct or not. And it's messing up with the whole process. And many times the first thing they were going to say was right, and the second thing they actually say is not. So it's funny. It's funny to look at it when it's not you who's, you know, having trouble with it, right? But yeah, just I see it all the time. So we need to understand that we're not consciously controlling the process. Yeah, but again, if we understand what we're listening to or reading, the process working. You can measure it, but the process working. Of course, you can measure it by seeing how much you can understand as opposed to a couple of months ago. And by realizing that little by little, you start having the ability to communicate, right? And naturally, without having to think about everything you want to say, because that's painful. And, you know, that leads to that sort of broken speech that we usually see in foreigners when they speak in a different language. That sort of hesitant style, like, again, that's because they're trying to access that conscious knowledge, but that's not the way it works, you know, fortunately, to be honest. So, yeah, it's a subconscious process. We need to learn to deal with that, you know, to not control the process. And again, I'm going to talk about languages here, right? Because that's the thing I'm the most passionate about. But I'm pretty sure this works for any topic, anything that you're trying to learn. Like that conscious memorization of words and facts or whatever it is, it just seemed wrong to me when I was in school, high school, and so on. But now I'm convinced. Like, that's just, I don't know, when we started to believe that we need to learn things that way, like by memorizing them. But it just doesn't make any sense. All right, any comments, any questions so far? Yeah. Or, yeah, if there's not any other questions, I'll keep going with my, you know, with the main principles of which come from Stephen Krashen's hypothesis, for the most part, of course, you know, because I've read some of his books, and I mean, I'm extremely passionate about this process, and I've read a lot of books and watched videos and attend conferences, and I keep testing it myself. I love learning languages and everything related to language learning and acquisition. So, yeah, my goal is to, like I said, help as many people as possible realize that they too can learn any language. Because I've talked about it in some of the Spanish Q&A sessions, but it's just the truth. Like I struggled to learn English in like high school, college, and so on, after 15 years of formal traditional education. I just couldn't speak the language, believe it or not. And because I felt that myself, and I can feel how the process works and how it feels in my mind to not only to be able to communicate in English the way I can right now, but in other languages as well. And I continue to learn other languages because I just love it. And I enjoy every single minute of it, the process working. It just a win-win across the board, you know. So yeah, if there's no questions or no comments so far, so I'll keep going with, you know, I talked about the input versus output thing. That's extremely important to understand. Awesome. And yeah, I'll go with that in a moment, but I think it's an extremely interesting content here. Adrian says, I don't understand why, but in the Hebrew language, like every day I understand more, especially when I read Google News in Hebrew. And Israeli TV. Exactly. That's a perfect way to put it. Like, you don't understand why, you don't know what's going on in here, but every single day, if you focus on the right principles, you see that you can understand more and more. And, you know, then sometime in the future, you'll see that you'll start being able to communicate little by little, and in a natural way, which is the most important thing. And of course, you know, getting to a point in which you can fluently communicate in the language, that takes a lot of time. Actually, way longer than we think. But of course, you know, I'm talking about enjoying the moment every single step of the way. So it's not that you need to learn a language for 5 years until you're ready to start enjoying it. No, you can enjoy it from day one. It's just that the output part of the language comes later as a consequence, like I said, and it takes longer than most people think. And that's okay, by the way. But yeah, that just keeps seeing like videos on how to learn a language in 3 months or 6 months or a month, and just ridiculous things. But I've talked about it many times, but you know, I'll say it again. Nobody's ever learned a language in 3 months, 6 months, 1 month. Because, I mean, technically you could do it in 6 months if you're getting exposed to the language, I don't know, like a lot of time every day, but it is hard to get exposed to the language for 5 hours at the beginning because not a lot of things are comprehensible for you. So it's hard to watch cartoons for 5 hours, you know, and things of that nature. It's just mentally taxing at the beginning, right? Once you get to a point in which you can understand podcasts and things like that, you know, that it makes all the difference because you can actually get exposed to the language for 5 hours a day and love it, and you can handle it. So again, you're going to speed up the process, right? But it takes, you know, just the truth, it takes longer than most people think. But yeah, getting back to your comment, Adrian, that's exactly the feeling. Like, I don't understand why. I don't know why. I don't know what actually goes on in here, but it works. And it works not because I say so or because this is the latest trend or technique. It's the same way, the same principles by which we've all acquired native languages and we've all acquired other languages. It just how it works, you know. And yeah, so thanks a lot for your comment, Adrian. It is pretty accurate. Yeah. So yeah, so getting back to those main principles, I talked about input, comprehensible input being the key and output being the consequence, right? Of course, comprehensible because, you know, I've talked about it, but if it's not comprehensible, it's just nice for you. So you're not really learning the language. But input is the key, is the cause, and output is the consequence. The process actually is subconscious. Just like Adrian is talking about, you don't really understand why, but it's working. And you can understand more and more every day, right? Then what else? I also want to talk about, I don't know if this is one of the main principles, but I also want to talk about error correction because, you know, again, based on the traditional grammar approach, that's like error correction is a tool that most people think is useful, right? When it comes to helping you understand where you've made a mistake and get it right the next time around, right? I think that's the goal. But you can probably relate to it that many times when you make a grammar mistake in a foreign language, many times you knew the actual right word yourself, but that didn't prevent you from making the mistake, right? So you perfectly knew the rule yourself, like consciously knew the rule from those grammar classes, right? Traditional grammar classes. But when you try to actually communicate in real life, in real time, it just doesn't work that way. You don't have time to think about it consciously. You don't have time to recall that conscious knowledge, right? Because it's all about communicating in a natural way and in real time. So consciously knowing the rule, consciously knowing where you made a mistake, is not going to prevent you from making it, right? What you actually need in order to get it right in the future is to listen to it as many times as possible in context. And someday, somehow, you start to get it right. And it is, like, it happens all the time. I see it with my students. I see it in English with foreigners. I see it with other languages, that many times you make a mistake, and even right away, you realize, like, within your own mind, like, a couple of seconds later, you realize, oh, why did I say that? I perfectly know this is not the right way to say it, right? But you still said it that way. It's just that there are two different processes, like I'm always talking about. Like, consciously memorizing or learning grammar rules is not going to help you build sentences the right way afterwards. It is going to help you if you have time to think about it, like in writing, or it is going to help you if you're thinking about everything you want to say, right? And back to the earlier point, that's why a lot of people have that sort of broken speech, right? And it takes them a long time to build the sentences that they want to create. And that's why your head is just exploding after 20 minutes of trying to communicate that way. Yeah, can you relate to that feeling? I certainly can, and I see it all the time as well. It's just not the way it works. And back to error correction. The problem with error correction is, first of all, like I said, it's not going to help you get it right the next time, because that's not the way it works. And because you knew that yourself most times, more times than not, you knew the right word yourself. You were just speaking real time, and you don't have time to think about it consciously. So for someone to correct you and tell you what the right word is, most times it's not going to help you, because you already knew that yourself, right? And then the sort of trickier part, or not the most dangerous part, says, how do you feel when someone's correcting your output? I think most people, even if subconsciously, which is even more dangerous, and I've seen it in myself, I'm totally convinced by this way of understanding how the language mechanism works, and yet when I'm speaking in a foreign language, you know, now I tell people, if they do it, I tell people not to correct me, of course, but if I'm speaking in a foreign language, whatever it is, and people correct me, even if I'm aware of it, even if I'm aware of the fact that that's going to happen, even subconsciously, I start being afraid of speaking, because I'm afraid of making mistakes. Again, many times it's just subconscious, right? But I don't know if you, just let me know in the chat as well, if you can relate to that feeling that, you know, you're speaking in a foreign language, you make a mistake, which you knew yourself for the most part, and a native speaker corrects you, and you don't feel like talking as much after that, do you? Let me know if that's the case for any of you, but I'm pretty sure that's that's happened to all of you at some point. So that's the danger of it, you know, and for something that's not gonna help you to be that dangerous, you know, that's why I think it's just such a terrible practice, you know, because if it's going to hurt your willingness to communicate, but it's helping you, all right, we could think about, you know, the trade-off, right? But if it's not helping you, because like I said, for the most part, you already knew that yourself. And even if you didn't, it's not going to help you get it right the next time around, because you need to listen to it many times in context. Yeah. And then the second part, and the most dangerous part, is how do you feel when people correct your mistakes. Yeah. Okay. So, Adrian, Reggie, friend from Belfast, anyone, any questions, any comments so far? Any personal experience that you can share with us, you know, about the things that I just talked about, like feeling that fear of speaking after your errors being corrected, or, you know, the way your head exploded after trying to communicate for even 20 minutes after traditional classes, things like that. Any experience you can share, or I'll otherwise I'll keep going with some more of the main principles, you know. Because yeah, to remind everyone, we've talked about input versus output. The fact that is the process is a subconscious one, you know. The problem with error correction, and what else? There's something I'm forgetting right here. Anyway, and so I'll think about it in a moment, but any questions, suggestions, ideas that you want to share, personal experiences, you know, with any of the languages that you're learning right now, let me know. Yeah, give me 30 seconds to think about what I wanted to say next, but in the meantime, feel free to send your answers, your questions, excuse me. What did I want to say? Anyway, no, I think those are the main principles, right? Like input being the cause and the subconscious process and so on. So yeah, I also wanted to talk about certain resources that I think are tremendously helpful when you're starting to learn a language. I mean, actually, I'm going to talk about different levels, but also let me know if you're using them, if they're going to be helpful for you, if there's any other resource that you're using at that particular level that you can share with us. But, you know, I've talked about it in the Spanish version of it, but when I'm starting to learn a language from scratch. So we'll start from scratch, okay? First of all, it really depends on what language it is, right? Because as a native Spanish speaker, like I talked about with Italian, because of the similarities between both languages, I could understand cartoons right away, right? Which is not going to be the case if I were to learn Arabic, for example, right? Or Swahili, or, you know, like a completely different language, I mean. But, you know, in that case, I'd probably go with a teacher, comprehensible input teacher, of course, you know, that's going to help me learn the language from scratch by creating stories, by using a lot of gestures and pictures and real life context to help me understand what she or he's talking about. So that would probably be my go-to resource at the beginning if it's a completely different language I'm starting from scratch. But like I've mentioned before as well, depending on the language, it might be hard to find a native speaker or a native comprehensible input teacher, right? Because you're certainly going to find some for English, French, Spanish, German, Russian, etc. But if you're trying to learn, I don't know, Swahili, I'm always using that example, it might be more complicated to find someone. But you can actually look for language exchanges, activities, or websites, and educate people from those countries on the comprehensible input principles, right? Like someone who's interested in learning your native language, you can have a sort of a conversation exchange in which the other person is going to I don't know, it's going to describe pictures to you, like simple things like that, that are going to help you, even if you're starting from scratch, because you have the help of pictures, right? And the effort the other person is going to put in to help you understand what he or she's talking about, right? But before we go on with resources, I have some comments, questions. It doesn't affect my confidence when my conversational tutor corrects me. But I do get frustrated when I can't express more complex thoughts and ideas. Yeah, I think, well, I mean, like I said, it's not as hard for some people. To me, like I said, it does affect me, but my feeling is it affects some people more than others, but I think it does affect everyone on a subconscious level, even if you're not aware of it. I don't know, this is, you know, there's no research on this. This is just my impression, right? What I'm feeling, but anyway. But the second part, yeah, of course, right? But that's what I'm always talking about. That, again, it's gonna sound simplistic, maybe, but it is what it is. And what I mean by that is at a specific point, you know, I get it that you want to communicate the best way possible. You wanna communicate complex thoughts and ideas, like you mentioned. And you wanna sound native-like or as native-like as possible, right? But if you can't, you can't. You know what I mean? Like, but you'll get there later on. It's just a matter of time and patience, right? So I totally get it. I do get frustrated myself, you know, so I'm not going to say that, no, it doesn't happen to me. It does happen to me, of course, because, again, it's our ultimate goal to be able to communicate in the language, right? So we do get frustrated when we can't express our complex thoughts and ideas, like you said. But it just, you know, if this is your... You know, it is random or subjective, but if this is your communication ability, this is it. You know, there's no way to express this complex thought if you're not there yet. And like I said, I understand the frustrating part of it. The only thing that I'm going to say is, if you get frustrated because when you get frustrated, if you think it's your fault, that's what I'm trying to tackle. You know, that's what I'm trying to get rid of. Like, if you feel frustrated because you can't communicate the way you'd like to at any given point, it doesn't mean that you're not good at languages. It doesn't mean that you're dumb. It doesn't mean, you know, that's the most important thing that I want to talk about. It just means that you didn't get to the point yet. And again, back to the traditional grammar approach being so dominant, and back to consuming videos in which they tell us that how they learn the language in 6 months, which again, it didn't happen. But even if you don't believe that, subconsciously, you start thinking like, so that person learned the language in 6 months, I'm two years in and I can't communicate the way I'd like to. You know, like it's not going to take you 6 months, you know. I really appreciate and I love honesty, so I'm just going to say it the way I think it is, and you know, I get it, you know, like it even happens to me with English. Like, I understand pretty much 100%, especially if it's American English, but sometimes I can use the specific structure or specific words that I perfectly know myself, that I've heard 1,000 times, but in real time I was gonna say recall them, but that's not the right word because that's conscious, but they don't come out of my mouth as naturally as other words or other expressions for whatever reason, right? And it happens to me with Portuguese and Italian. Again, I understand 100% Portuguese and Italian, Brazilian Portuguese, European Portuguese, a little less. But but I cannot communicate the same way. I cannot communicate at the same level, right? Because it's just the way it works. I've talked about it many times, but our ability to communicate is always behind. You know, we can always understand way more than we can speak. It's just the way it works. And once again, I get it. I get the frustration. I feel it myself. But most times I'm able to talk myself out of it, you know, by telling myself, like, all right, it's almost like as if I were two different people, you know, like I'm telling myself, I understand your frustration, but it doesn't make sense because it's just the way it works, you know. No, it got a little weird in the end, but that's what I meant. So, yeah, I feel you. I understand. But it's just more input. More input, time, and patience. It's just, yeah. Adrian, I think. This is a fabulous experience and adventure where all the single days we see new experiences and we learn knowledge. You mean the... it's very beautiful, this experience to me. Really happy to read that, Adrian. You mean the Q&A session? Yeah, sure. Like, and the good thing, like I said, like I'm not a native English speaker, but I'm not slowing down or I'm speaking English the way I communicate on a daily basis when I need to use the language, right? So, and I can see that you understand everything that I'm talking about, right? But probably if you wanted to do it, you wouldn't be able because again, your ability to understand is way ahead of your ability to communicate, right? And it is frustrating at times, I know, but no, it's a matter of time and patience, you know. I understand your feelings, but... Oops. Yeah, I think there's some connection issues. One second. Things should be better now. Yeah, I don't know why the connection was really poor. Okay, perfect. Not good again. Yeah, there was some connection issue. Perfect. Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. It's like, it's a matter of time, like patience, you know, it's going to happen. It's just a natural consequence, you know. But again, and I get it once again, but we adults, we're always looking for shortcuts. We want to make it happen as, you know, as quickly as possible. And while I understand that, it's not going to work, you know, and it's going to lead to nothing but frustration. So, you know, I keep talking about time, patience, and comprehensible input because that's what I do. That's my personal experience. That's what I do on a daily basis. Like all the languages that I speak and the ones I'm learning right now, which I cannot communicate yet, I just get exposed to them every day for at least 20 minutes each because, you know, there are a few of them, so it takes some time. But yeah, it's, and of course, it's easier to have patience when you're enjoying every single moment of it, right? Because when I talk about learning 6-7 different languages every day, it doesn't mean that I'm studying, you know. I would quit after a minute. It means that I'm listening to podcasts about topics that I'm interested in. It means that I'm watching videos on YouTube about, again, topics that I'm interested in. It means that I'm going to language events to meet people from other countries. It means I'm reading books that I really want to read in that language, because it's going to give me access to their culture. It's going to help me understand, you know, something about their country, their culture, or whatever it is. It just things that I would normally do on my own native language, right? So it's obviously easier to have patience. You know, it's easier to be patient when you're enjoying it, right? It's a whole lot more difficult to be patient when you're actually memorizing things or learning rules consciously, right? So, yeah. Yeah, it's working well now. So, yeah, any other question, any other comments related to languages? Yeah, if not, I'll get back to the resources that I was talking about. You know, I was talking about resources for beginners. So what I normally do is if I'm starting from scratch, like I said, I'll find a teacher if I can. If not, I'll try to find a language project on YouTube, right? Like, you know, the ones I'm learning right now, being Russian and German. I actually started with those projects. I didn't even look for a teacher, because for German, there was this one project. It's a different one, but one project that she was storytelling for her kids, for her students, right? And she posted those stories on YouTube. So even for me, which I started from scratch, that was comprehensible, right? So that helped me get a little bit better, understand a little bit more, right? And get to other projects. And after 200 plus hours, my ability to understand is dramatically higher, but I just can't communicate yet, right? But that's how we all started. And when it comes to Russian, first of all, being able to speak Polish did help me a little bit. It did help me understand some words that are somewhat similar between both languages, because both of them are Slavic languages, right? But it was projects like those that helped me. And they took me to the next level, and I started understanding more complex and more interesting resources. And I'm on a pretty similar hour count when it comes to Russian. And again, I cannot communicate, but I can understand a whole lot more than I could. And that's rewarding in itself. And, you know, again, it's actually quite easy to be patient when I'm enjoying it, when I'm reading or listening to, you know, videos, books, whatever it is, about topics that I'm truly interested in, right? So those are my go-to resources for complete beginners. And then, you know, whenever, even if you're starting with a teacher or with a project in which teachers specifically create videos in a comprehensible way for you to understand, you know, whenever you feel like trying, just go ahead and see if you can understand cartoons, like things on your own, or comic books. I always talk about them. You know, just try it. When you've been exposed to the language for some time, whether that's classes or online projects, whatever it is, you know, just try. Try cartoons, try comic books, try simple things that you think you might be able to understand. And if you can and you enjoy it, awesome, go ahead. And if you don't, just, you know, get back down to just classes or those projects, and you'll get there later on. And this works for any level. I always talk about it. Like, if you're on intermediate level and you feel like you could be able to understand a specific type of podcast because they talk about a topic that I'm super interested in, just give it a try. And if it is comprehensible, and you enjoy it, and I'm assuming you do at that level. Awesome. Just consume as much of their content as you can. You know, listen to all of their episodes. That's what I do, right? But if you can't still understand those resources, the main thing I want you to know, once again, is it doesn't mean it's not working for you. It doesn't mean you're not good at languages. It doesn't mean you're not talented. You know, it doesn't mean you're dumb. It just means you didn't get to the point yet. And you just need to get back to something a little bit easier, continue to keep getting better by doing that, and you'll get to that more complex resource later on. Adrian asks, what I think about the use of cognates, and what we can do to use the. Okay. When you say the use of cognates, you mean like using them when speaking yourself, or using them when you're reading or whatever it is to make it more comprehensible? I understand this second thing, right? So to give you an example, in my classes, my students who want to learn Spanish, they're either native English speakers or they're from a different country, but they already speak English, right? So, and I know there are a lot of similar words between English and Spanish. So for the most part, and as long as it sounds natural, I'm gonna use as many cognates as possible to help them understand what I'm talking about. Because if instead of that specific word, I use a different one that is not a cognate, that is not related to English, they just might not understand what I'm talking about. So to give you an example, Adrian, with Spanish, if whatever the situation, if I want to talk about one of the characters in the stories that wants to continuar, right? If I use the verb continuar, which is pretty close to continue, they're going to understand what I mean. But if I use the verb seguir, which means the same thing, but it's not a cognate, they might not understand what I'm talking about. Of course, I'm also going to use the context of the story, pictures, gestures, and whatever I can to help them understand. But as much as possible, I try to use those cognates as much as possible, and as long as it's still natural, right? Because I want to keep it natural. I want to keep using the language that I would use with a friend, with a native friend in the street, right? So I don't want to overuse them to help them understand, but at the same time, make it artificial, if that makes sense. But if you're the one consuming content, you know, you're going to come across cognates naturally. And yeah, that's a good thing for us, because it's going to help us, you know, understand way more than we might be able to without them. And it's the same thing that happened to me with Russian. Like I said, because of Polish, there were some words in Russian that I could understand. And those words helped me understand the message of the whole story or the whole video, whatever it was. So yeah, those, they're useful, obviously. But if you're talking from the perspective of the student, of the person learning the language, just, you know, just watch videos, listen to podcasts, read books, and they'll come up naturally. You know, and from my perspective as a teacher, I'll try to use them as much as I can, and as long as they feel natural in that specific structure, because that's going to help my students understand, you know. And, you know, I hope that example with Spanish help you understand what I mean. But yep, if if we're talking about two languages that are somewhat related. Let's take advantage of it. Perfect. So, yeah. But, you know, to me, it's more about the teacher's perspective, you know, about the teacher using them, as long as it sounds natural, like I said, to help his or her students, right? It's not something that I would focus on as a language student, because it would probably be artificial, right? And, you know, I just know they're going to come up naturally when I'm reading a book or when I'm listening to a podcast, because the native speaker is going to use them naturally, right? Okay. And then getting back to those resources, once I'm past that sort of beginner stage, I just try things, you know, like whenever I feel like I could be able to understand a more complex and interesting resource, like a documentary, for example, that's a pretty good one for the intermediate level, I think. I just try it. I look for documentaries in German, for example, on YouTube, if I feel like I could understand them. And if I can, awesome. You know, I'll just watch all of the documentaries they have on that channel. And if I don't, I just get back to something easier and try again later on. And in that sense, when it comes to documentaries, probably the best ones are those in which there's like a narrator that explaining things in a sort of descriptive way. You know, like those animal or nature documentaries that they're just, there's like some footage of, you know, nature or animals or whatever it is, and there's a person narrating what's going on. And they tend to speak in a clear way, in a descriptive way. So those are more interesting probably than those with more sort of street action, you know, like those travel documentaries, for example, in which they interview people on the street. Again, just give it a try and see if you can understand them, but it's probably going to be more complicated because there's background noise and there are native speakers communicating the way they would in a normal setting out in the streets, right? So, yeah. And then same thing when it comes to books, I usually start with comic books, like simple things like that, because, you know, the images are going to help you understand what you're reading for the most part. But then, you know, once my ability to understand gets better and better, I just try a little more complex stuff and interesting, like young adult books, for example, like Harry Potter books or thing, you know, books like that, because they're more interesting. Well, I mean, comic books are interesting to me, at least, so that's fine. But young adult books, they're even more interesting, I'd say. So I just, whether I'm talking about video, audio, books, whatever it is, I just, as soon as I feel ready, I try different things. I try a little more complex things than the previous ones. And like I said, if I understand, if I understand a specific resource, awesome, I'll go ahead with it. And if I don't, I'll try it later. Yeah. Yeah. Adrian says there's like between Hebrew and Spanish, there's not so many cognates, right? Yeah, of course. So that's going to make it more complicated, obviously, but, you know, it is what it is. You know? If that's the language you're interested in, that's awesome. And yeah, Like I said, it's always easier to find resources for French or English or German or Russian than it is for Hebrew or Vietnamese, you know. But I think little by little, more people are creating projects in this, creating more projects to help other people learn the language even from scratch. And yeah, and you can always try that idea that I mentioned before, that, you know, try to look for people who are interested to learn your native language, Spanish in this case, from Israel, you know. And you tell them about comprehensible input, you tell them about, you know, using pictures or using describing pictures as a tool to help you learn the language. I mean, to help each other learn your native languages, of course, you know. No worries, Adrian. we're doing Q&A in Spanish for the most part, and you're used to writing in Spanish, that's fine. And there might be some things that you cannot express in English, that's totally fine. No problem. Okay, so yeah, any other comment, any other questions you have, you know? Perfect, Adrian. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, but like I said, it just, I've talked about the NBA many times, of course, but I watched the NBA in English for 5 years with, you know, with the expectation that it was going to help me out, of course, but because I just enjoyed it, I just loved it. And when I came to Poland for the first time, I could actually communicate in English because I've been listening to English for 5 years, you know, doing something that I really enjoy. And also the good thing about sports, I've also talked about it, is that while the commentator is speaking, while the commentator is describing what's going on, you get to actually see what's going on the court in this case. So it's easier to connect the ideas. It's easier to connect the words, the phrases the commentators are using to the actual movement or the actual action on the court. So that helps. So yeah, I'm a big fan of sports when it comes to helping you learn a language, especially if you're, you know, as with other things, don't just force the issue, you know. But if there's a sport that you already enjoy, that you already consume in your own native language, trying to find a way to consume that content in your target language is really going to be helpful. Because first of all, sports are something that we're usually passionate about. Like those who are passionate about a specific sport, you know, they don't need to find the extra motivation to consume that content because they're already doing it. They're super passionate about it, right? So, and they don't even need to find the extra time because they're already allocating time to that, right? So that's certainly an advantage. But then, because of that sort of physical acquisition of the language, if you will, it's extremely helpful. And even practicing them, like I've talked about it as well, like I started playing football or soccer, if you're American, here in Poland. And, you know, I just, because of that physical acquisition of the language, it really helped me a lot. Yeah. Because you get to connect the specific words or ideas with a specific action at the same time. And if it's happening to you, you know, if you hear, when it comes to English, for example, if you hear man on, and you have a car and you have a guy right behind you, okay, so that means, you know, like, well, man on, of course, but that means watch out, or, you know. So, yeah. So that's also a resource that I strongly recommend. Like I said, especially if you already enjoy some sport, that's going to help you a lot for those reasons that I just mentioned before. And yeah. So yeah, everyone, any other comment, any other question in your mind? Otherwise, I think that was it for today. From my part. So yeah, let me just one last minute. Let me know if you have any other question, any other comment, any other thing that you want me to talk about. Otherwise, we'll just wrap it up here. All right. Yeah. Yeah, and I hope those, you know, technical problems didn't last much. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. And I appreciate yours as well. Yeah, it's, like I said, it's super fun to have you all here to communicate back and forth, to answer your questions, and to talk about one of my passions, you know, being language learning. And yeah, so for next week, I don't know if, we might get back to Spanish, or, yeah, I'll just switch back and forth between English and Spanish. And as I mentioned in the Spanish Q&A, I'll try to get some of my podcast guests to join live. So we can talk about language acquisition live with them, and you can ask them your questions. Not all of them are going to agree, of course, but I'll try it. And yeah, and again, to wrap things up, thank you to all of you who joined this live. And any question you may have at any point, feel free to reach out to me, you know, in any of my social media platforms. I'll be more than happy to answer your questions and help you out as much as I can. Okay. So I wish you a good day, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.